Should be some back there in the corner. And all of our musical gentlemen are with the choir tonight. So good to see all of you. We're in here. And I knew it wasn't going to work having all of these people on this side of that door. I knew what was going to happen. Turn around, look back there. That's right. Butch, you're raising your hand confessing. That's good. We are glad you're here tonight. Grab a chair, find wherever you're comfortable. And tonight we're going to be talking about a subject you might be surprised that we're going to talk about, but the book of Proverbs has some great things to say about delight. That's what we want to focus on tonight. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get ourselves settled in here. And thank you for being here tonight. Good to see all of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of knowing Jesus. And we thank you for the real, genuine, spiritual delight that you give us who are born again in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, forgive us who are Christians here tonight, who are born again, when we do not live in the joy and the delight that you have given to us. Forgive us when we are caught up in the drama of life and the pain of life and the struggles, and we miss delighting in you. So help us tonight to understand this very important truth from your word, the way of delight. And may our church be a place of delight. May our people, may we, as we go out of this place and we meet with people in the workplace and our families and in others around our area here, may people truly see in us the joy of Jesus, the delight that Jesus had. And may it be real, and may people be affected by it, because we know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we now also pause and we pray for our people who have tonight all kinds of joys and victories and struggles and pressures of all kinds. And there's no way that any of us nor our church can handle or manage all of those needs, but we can give them to you, trust you that you will help them and bring people across our path, help across our attention so that we might be helpful, and help us to be available and help us to care like Jesus would have us care. Thank you for the wonderful ministry, caring life of this church. Bless these wonderful people who are here tonight. And we thank you for the Word of God that is a lamp to us. The commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is the light. So help us tonight, Lord, that we might follow your Word and that we might live as people of righteousness and integrity in all that we do. Now open our eyes that we might hear and see your Word, and forgive us of our sins today in word and action. Cleanse us now and give us a chance brand new to start with you if we've walked away from you. And we thank you for the fellowship we have around the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, so let's talk a little bit on that first page about delight in the book of Proverbs. And actually, it's delight. It's delight in more places than that. Pat, if you'll go to that first slide, please. So let's, and I hope you can all somewhere see these screens. So first of all, the English word for delight. Let's start there, because the English word for delight, the best definition in Webster's is great pleasure. So tonight we're going to actually talk about pleasure from a biblical point of view. Pleasure. That's a big deal in our world. I mean, there are people chasing pleasure more than they do anything else in life. And so this matter of pleasure, this thing of something that gives great pleasure, is really an important issue for all of us. So question number one, even though you've already read through the whole outline and you already know where I'm going to go, before you get there, what I decide to do is, since you have the whole outline, I spend a lot more time on the beginning slide before we get into all of them, because some of you are like ready to go. Come on, Pastor Mike, let's go. All right, stay with me. All this is important, what we're introducing here. So let me ask you this question today. All right? What brings you the greatest pleasure in your life? Now, don't say it out loud. Is it family? And it could be a combination of things. What brings you the greatest pleasure in your life? Is it possessions? Is it family? I was just listing some things. Is it our friends? Is it the church? Is it the Lord? Is it what we do, our work? Is it what, you know, what is it that brings you pleasure? Is it driving around on your four-wheeler and cutting wood? Is it going shopping? There's a lot of people in here. So the answer is going to be different for each one of us. But what we're going to see tonight is that God is a God who has, God is a God of delight. We might not have thought about God like that, but God is a God of delight. Right. Second thing we're going to learn about is that the world pursues a kind of delight or pleasure that is contrary to what the Bible says. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is spiritual delight or spiritual pleasure. That sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. So tonight is our night to talk about what Americans love, pleasure. Pleasure. It is our world. It is what people live to do. So you can see on that first slide. So did you answer the question? Think about it in your mind. What is it that gives you the greatest pleasure? Fishing, hunting, sporting events, you know, following sport. It can be numerous things. The Proverbs teach us that delight, and you can actually put alongside of that pleasure, is the common experience of God and people. So we're made in the image of God. God made Adam and Eve in the image of God with qualities and emotions that are not all bad. Sin destroys and breaks emotions and makes them what they are. We talked about that Sunday morning about the brokenness of sin. But when we think about this, God is a God who has emotion. God is a God who has pleasure and has favor and has acceptance. So there are various words. The thing that's hard for me to explain to you in the English Bible is that when you take the word that you'll read in your Bibles for delight, it can be translated from the Hebrew, about four different Hebrew words. So that's why I've given you down here on this first slide such words as pleasurable, favorable, joyful, acceptable, and then this last one, delectable. Just like eating pie, the whole pie. Delectable. Just like strawberries. I just was talking to my neighbor, Warner, today. Man, he's going all over the place getting strawberries. I said, bring me some, man, for heaven's sake. Nobody at the church will give me any. He said, oh, poor you, poor you. He said, probably they want you to go pick your own. I said, that's right. All right. So you think about these words, they all have a meaning for us. So we do what we do, and many of us seek more than any. At the heart of who we are pursuing pleasure, delight. That's what we want. And so man is made with this desire for satisfying or having delight. So let me go now, before we go to Proverbs, I want to introduce the next slide is, let's talk about the delight of God for a little while. All right, so take your Bible, go over to Psalm 149. These notes are not on your note sheet. Psalm 149. So in Psalm 149, we read these words, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of the godly ones. That's what we do when we get together on Sundays and We praise the Lord. We celebrate. We worship. Let Israel be glad in his maker. This is one of those words. Be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, and let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. Now notice verse 4. Here's the verse. For the Lord delights, or if your Bible's like the New American Standard that I read from, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. All right, here's the promise to all of us who are God's people in this room. Listen, whatever you're going through tonight, the Lord takes pleasure in you. God takes pleasure in you. You know, so sometimes people have twisted and misunderstood meanings about what God does. You know, on Sunday mornings we're going to be talking about being broken but blessed. And my point in that is to say sometimes God permits and allows things to happen in our life because he takes so much pleasure in us. He knows that life circumstances and people and ourselves refine us. They help us to become more like the Lord wants us to be. So I want you to hear tonight good news. God takes pleasure in his people. He takes pleasure that we're here together. He takes pleasure in you as you follow the Lord. Think about this astounding verse. So when Jesus was baptized, remember, the voice from heaven comes, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The pleasure of God was focused on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in his coming. It's an astounding thought. But we must remember that God is a God of delight. God is a God who takes pleasure in his people, so he takes pleasure in us. So, I wanted you to see from the book of Proverbs the four examples of God's delight. What is it that God delights in his people? What about his people that he delights in? Well, go to chapter 11, verse 1. Let's start there. Chapter 11, verse number 1. And of all the places, of all the things that you would think that God would have pleasure in, he starts with business. Boy, I look around this room, there's some high-powered business people here. You're at it a lot. And we read these strange words. Now, probably none of you were in your business using a balance today. You know, I have one in my office. If you ever come in my office at the door, I have an old-time weight balance. And it has multiple size weights on it. And there's the scale. The scale. You know, the old days, you measure it out. You measure out, and the weight is what determines the price, and the price is set, and business is done. What does God take pleasure in? All right, let's read it. A false balance is, now this is as strong a word as what we learned back in chapter 7 about what God hates. I mean, this is very powerful. You know, so the seven things the Lord hates. Well, now we're reminded. This word abomination is a word that means detestable. This is detestable to God. Hear now what the Bible says. All of us in business. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. By the way, a weight doesn't have justice. Are you following? It's the one who does the weighing. It's the one who uses the weight and the measurements. It's the one who puts it in place. In Proverbs 16:11, the same principle applies. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag. Oh, this is a good phrase. All the weights of the bag are His concern. Every debit and credit is God's concern. Are you listening tonight, business people? Every debit and credit is God's concern. We don't carry around a bag of rocks in order to do the weights. But we have computers, and we have contracts, and we have obligations, and we have commitments, and we make deals. Oh, we make deals. An honest scale, a just weight is God's delight. Hear me tonight. God is delighted when His people do business in a just, fair, and honorable way. All right, number two. We could go a long time on that. By the way, Jesus did say, let your yes be yes and your no, no. And you all know the point of that. It's integrity. It's saying, keeping the word of what you said you would do, even if it hurts. Oh, well, I made that commitment, but boy, I need to go back on that. Wait, you made the commitment. So you made the commitment, so you stay with it. All right, blamelessness. Let's look at this for a minute. It's in chapter 11 also, verse 20. The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord. Now notice again, another statement about abomination. Perversity. The word here, the Hebrew word for perverse, it means something twisted. Twisted. The twisted ones. The perverse in heart, not in their actions. The perverse in heart are an abomination of the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are God's delight. God has delight in His people, and He has delight when His people are blameless. People may accuse us, but we are blameless. We are not guilty of living in an unrighteous way, treating people in an inappropriate way. We seek to love them in the name of Jesus, do what we do, have integrity in our words, in our business, in our actions, in our family. The blameless in His way is a delight to the Lord. Chapter 13, verse number 6 says, righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless. Righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless. And God is pleased with the blameless in their way. He takes pleasure in it. He's delighted to see us when we live blamelessly. Chapter 12, verse 22. The faithful are His delight. Chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination of the Lord. Here we have it a third time. We're on to a pattern here. I hope we're picking it up. God's not real happy when we lie. But those who deal faithfully are His delight. This word to be faithful is so important. It is, you know, it has in mind dependability, reliability. Again, what I said earlier, what you say is what you are. Yes is yes, no is no. Light is light, dark is dark. There is dependability, there's reliability. The faithful are His delight. Remember what we read earlier, Psalm 49:4, the Lord delights in His people. So how does He do it? He delights in us when we're honest in our dealings. He delights in us when we are blameless in our way. He delights in us when we're faithful in our dealings. And He's also delighted when we talk to Him. All right? Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord. Here we have it again. Are we ever going to get off of this abomination stuff? Well, when the Bible uses a word, they're really important. Pay attention. Sometime we should do the abominations in Proverbs, and it's a long list. Not going to do it tonight and chase that rabbit. But truly, read this carefully. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. So when you sit with the Lord, before the Lord and pray, notice chapter 15, verse 29. I'll give that one to you also. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. We learn this over and over from David. David, in learning in the brokenness of his sin how to walk with God, He says it over and over in the Psalms. Hear my prayer. The Lord hears my prayer. Hear my prayer. The Lord hears my prayer. So we see this beautiful picture of the delight of God. I want to give you one last verse because I want you to see the opposite side. I'd like for you to turn to Ezekiel in your Bible. Go over to the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 18. And I want you to see in Ezekiel 18 what God says about the wicked. There are some who give the idea that God has this great delight in just sending people to hell, in judging people, in destroying the wicked. Listen to what the Bible says. Ezekiel 18, we'll begin in 21. But if the wicked man turns from all his sin which he has committed and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. It's Ezekiel 18, 21. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Please look at the next verse. Please, please pay attention. It's the same Hebrew word for delight. It's a question. God says, do I have any pleasure, delight, in the death of the wicked rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? God says, I don't have pleasure in seeing the wicked destroyed. I have pleasure in seeing people repent and come back to me. Oh, this is so important for us in the day in which we live. Sometimes God's people sound like people who, yeah, God's going to grind you up and spit you out. Yeah, you wicked, mean people. For God so loved the world. The world. Anybody been out in the world today? Anybody heard any cussing today? Ken, you been hearing cussing today? Don't tell me where you've been. Anybody see anybody cheating today? Anybody? My point is, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked? You see, the church needs to believe what God already says about the way He treats the wicked sinner. I'm glad the Lord had pleasure on me, a wicked sinner. Are you glad He had pleasure on you, a wicked sinner? I'm thankful. Now let's talk for a moment about worldly pleasure. The delight of the wicked. And I want you to go in your New Testament because I think it's important for us to see this in 2 Timothy. I'd like for you to find 2 Timothy. And for just a moment, I want us to look in 2 Timothy. And let's read about the days in which we live. We live in the last days. And Paul wants us to understand the days in which we live. We live in the last days. So in 2 Timothy 3, Paul, verse 1, Paul says, realize this. In the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, and here it is, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Now, when we first read this, we would think, why, these are a bunch of wicked, wild people who don't know anything about God. Read the next verse. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. So we're reminded that there is all around us a world that wants us to be like them. And when you don't, when you're not like them, we're accused of being hateful. We're haters. Christians are haters. That's the latest thing. Christians are haters. The Bible is a hateful book. We hate people. We judge people. We treat people in an inappropriate way. The world wants us to conform. make the Bible fit our culture. You preachers, quit preaching on those things that our culture says are right. Line up. Get yourself in order. Change that Bible so it matches what we believe right now. Or else, we'll do lots of things to you. So we hear that. And then on the other side, you have this philosophy. Man, you don't have long to live. Live it up. Get all the pleasure in you can get in. What are you wasting your time for? Get it in. The pressure of loving pleasure. Loving pleasure. So we could spend the rest of the night on this one, but I'm hurrying to get to spiritual pleasure because I want us to talk about it. But this is important. So if we go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 14, notice what the Bible describes. Notice what the book of Proverbs gives us wisdom to understand about those who choose worldly pleasure. Now, by the way, you know, we're not talking about just because you choose to drive a comfortable car, you know, you're a worldly person in pleasure. Remember, we're talking about things that are vastly different. Aren't you glad? You don't have to drive your wagon up here with your horses and hook them up outside. We're not talking about the pleasure of being able to be in a building that has air conditioning. Sandra, too bad. You're the only one that's cold. We're all hot. So we're not talking about those kinds of things. We're talking about sinful, driven pleasure that says, I'm the center, satisfy me. I'm the center of the world. So in chapter 2, verse 14, let's go back and read here a little bit earlier. Let's go back and read beginning in 11. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. This is when we pay attention to God's Word and we live by wisdom. And we listen to the Holy Spirit inside of us who says, I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think you ought to go there. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil, and here it is, rejoice, and the word is actually this Hebrew word for delight. They delight in the perversity of evil. They delight in the perversity of doing evil. It is a delight. It is a pleasure to invent ways of doing evil. And I don't have to give you a current event lesson on that. Some of us watch the news too much. We need to read our Bible more and listen to the Holy Spirit, not Tom Brokaw. Oh, he's not around anymore, is he? Shows you how much I watch the news. By the way, if you just notice, they run the same thing over and over and over and over. I told Pat in the morning, he turned on. It's like the Thug Channel. Hey, this guy got arrested down here. They put this guy in jail. This guy shot this guy. It's the Thug Channel. Okay, you heard that for 10 minutes. Turn it off. Anyway, sorry. I feel better now. Proverbs 10:23. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool. You want to know the favorite sport of the wicked? Doing evil and taking pleasure in it. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool. In chapter 7, when we were learning about the danger of temptation, and we were talking about the naive young man who looked out his window, where the writer of Solomon talks about, he looked out the window and saw a young man naive without any sense, and he's trapped and taken in by temptation. In chapter 7, verse 18, come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. The world filled with lustful passion, the pleasure for lust, fulfilling lustful desires, such a dead end. Empty, thorny, painful path. The wicked do not delight in understanding. In chapter 8, see, we don't read these things to accuse the wicked. We read these things to be warned not to be wicked. Are you hearing me? See, this is what happens in church. We read this stuff that the Bible says about the sinner, go, yeah, there you go. Yeah, just grind those wicked sinners in the ground. Glad it's not me. Whoa, hold on, hold on. When we read like that, we've misunderstood something. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You know why? Because I've been broken by sin. Have you? Yes, we all have. So we learn from this not to be like this. So here's the question. Have I turned back to wickedness in 18:2? A fool does not delight in understanding. When I've gone back to the foolish way of living, I don't listen to understanding. My friends who are wise counsel come and they try to warn me, but I don't listen. I open my Bible, or I hear the preacher preach or the teacher teach. I listen to it, but I won't pay attention. The Holy Spirit urges me not to do it, but I won't listen. Again, listen to the words. Very important. A fool does not take pleasure in understanding. So, I gave you at the bottom the words that are used here to leap for joy. The wicked leap for joy in doing evil. That's literally the way chapter 2, verse 14 reads. So when we look at these things, we now understand that God is a God who delights in His people. There is the pressure of yielding to worldly pleasure in my life. Now let's spend our time talking about spiritual pleasure, which sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. And so as we think about this, I'm going to use one verse in Proverbs here, 23:26, if you'll find that, 23:26. I want this to be a thematic kind of verse, because this helps us to see the importance of spiritual pleasure. When you walk with God and you learn to pray and you learn to meet God and you learn how to open your Bible and you learn how to sit quietly before the Lord and you listen and you pause, there is pleasure you cannot understand until you do it. It's not getting up like you have to do something as a duty. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to spend time with God. It's a pleasure to spend time with God in the morning. It's a pleasure to spend time with God all during the day. It's a pleasure to spend time with God at night. And that means you can be working and do this. This is for everybody. This is for all of God's people. So I want to challenge and stretch you a little bit to think about spiritual desire. Spiritual desires. You say, Pastor Mike, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't have a no job like you have. I have a real job. This is for real people that have real jobs. This is for all of us here. Because when you come to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He starts to bring pleasure to your life that replaces all that old stuff. And sometimes you can't even explain it. You don't know why you've changed your desires, but your desires start going toward these other things that are so pleasurable, they're hard to describe. So that's what I want us to give our time to, the remainder of our time. So Proverbs 23:26, give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Why? For out here is temptation, verse 27. The harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Remember, we talked about this. This picture is beyond adultery. It's the whole picture of temptation. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. Give me your heart. The next section talks about those who are tempted to drink, who has a woe, who has a sorrow, who has contention, who has complaining, who has wounds without a cause, who has redness of eyes, those who linger long, not with God, but over wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent, stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a flagpole. You will say, they struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. The testimony of addiction. That's the story. The testimony of addiction. So let's go back. 26. It's not in sexual immorality. It's not in alcohol and addiction to these other substances. It is spiritual pleasure. It's the alternative. It's the way God made us. He made us in the image of God, listen, to have fellowship with God. I'm making this point. If you learn to have fellowship with God, you learn about the pleasures of God. Spiritual pleasure. And that's what I wish for all of you. It's what I wish for all of you. But it starts by giving God our heart and letting our eyes, listen, delight in God's way. So let's think about that. How do you delight in God's ways? Well, you've got to remember God's ways. Number one, God's ways are not man's ways. So God, as we're going to be talking about on Sunday mornings, and this for some of our people, they're going to get tired of this by about week 4 or 5. I know people are going to be saying, oh, my soul, my body, can he not go talk about something else? I know what's going to happen. But the ways of God include breaking my will. Boy, that's a hard thing because I'm about as stubborn as anybody in this room. I'll put my stubbornness up against anybody here. You think you're stubborn? God's still trying to remind me, Mike, you got to bow. You got to submit. You got to yield. You got to surrender. God's ways are ways to help me overcome my self-centered will. Repentance is God's way. You got to come to give me your heart. Don't keep it yourself. Faith, loving other people. We don't think that's right. Why should we love people who mistreat us? It's the way of God. It's what He said for us to do. Bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. Forgive them. Take people off your list. Give to the person who asks you and give them more. It's the ways of God. The righteous delight in God's ways. You know what Jesus said? He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father says for me to say. And I only go where the Father wants me to go. I'm illustrating here. That's how you delight in God's ways. So I want to ask you tonight, do you delight in God's ways? Now let's look at the second principle. And it's so, you can see all the verses. I mean, this explodes right here. But the righteous person has spiritual pleasure in God's ways, by the way, which don't always make sense. But also, a righteous person delights in God's Word. So let's look at Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2. 3 years ago, when we first started the book of Psalms here together, this was the first chapter we read. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, Psalm 1:1, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Verse 2, but his delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, because I love it, I think about it. He meditates on it day and night. That is such a great verse. Now, we spent a whole fall in Psalm 119. And we're all better for it. That took us a long time to go through Psalm 119. So now go to Psalm 119 and do some speed reading with me for a moment here, all right? I want you to be reminded. Because what is God, what is delight? It's learning that when I open this book, I'm hearing the very words of God, reading the words that matter, Every word is God's word. It's all the words are important. And for me, I must learn how the words go together, how the parts go together. So if I want to stay out of worldly pleasure, if I want to please God, I want to delight in God's ways. And this is the only way I know about God's ways, is this right here. The Holy Spirit takes this book and says, Mike, this is the way you walk. Don't do that. Do this. So, notice what we said. Quickly, let's look at these. 16. I shall delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. 24. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselor. So, you know, when you need some counsel, the best place to go is to God's word. 35. Make me walk in the paths of your commandments. I delight in walking in the path of your commandment. 47. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. 70. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. Talking about the arrogant. Now, verse 77. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. 92. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my afflictions. So in the midst of having trouble, the man of God is saying, I had spiritual delight. Now see, that sounds like a contradiction. People say, well, I'm having all these problems in my life. I'm not happy. You can be happy in the midst of being afflicted. That's what the Bible says. So we have to learn to do that. 143. Notice what 143 says. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. See, I'm not going to look at my trouble. I'm not going to spend all my time totally eaten up with my trouble. I'm going to pay attention to God's word and take pleasure in it. This is what keeps you from going crazy, folks. This is what keeps us from going back to the world. Is we hear God's word and we put it in us so that we remember. And by the way, did you know that you are older today than you've ever been? Yeah. That's right. And Ken, you need more of God's word today than you need yesterday, because you probably forgot all you learned yesterday. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Verse 174. I say that to you all the time because you have to remember that what you got yesterday from God's word isn't sufficient for today. You got to be in here every day. This is survival. It's like my mother said, did you eat your vegetables, Mike? Michael, when I was growing up. No, Mother, I hate vegetables. Well, you're going to sit there till you eat your vegetables. All of that broccoli. Oh, Mother, do I have to eat my broccoli? Yes. Because it's good for you. Did you eat this morning? Did you eat? Well, Brother Mike, I've had a hard day. You don't know how many, boy, yes, it's been hard, hasn't it? It's really hard to go out there in the world. It's really hard to put up with all these taters and obnoxious people. I get it. I understand it. But if you eat, you have strength. All right, I'm about to preach. I'm going to move on. Then we come to one of the most amazing passages in all the Bible. We could have spent all of our time here, but we didn't. But this is that great famous verse in Psalm 37, verse number 4. And you know what it is? Here it is. It's all summed up. Psalm 37, 4. Delight yourself in who?
Lord.
That's right. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Look at the order. Delighting in God. How do you delight in God? When you love people and you delight in them, you want to be with them. You know, Pat knows I'm like gum on Pat's shoe. I mean, wherever she's going to go, I'm going to go. It just wears her out. Sometimes she thinks, would somebody please call Pastor Mike and get him off of me, away from me? But I love being with my wife. Delight yourself in the Lord. When you're with somebody, you want to be with them. Delight yourself in the Lord. You delight in His love. You delight in His grace. You delight in His mercy. You delight in His care. You delight in His patience. You delight in His forgiveness. You delight in His listening ear. I could go on. You delight in the Lord. You sit, and instead of thinking about everything that's miserable in your life, you delight in the Lord. Take pleasure in God. Take pleasure in the Lord. He is, you know, look at how amazing He is. It's why for some of us worship works and sometimes it doesn't. Look, when I come on Sunday, I'm not worried even about the song selection. I'm really not. Or the sermon selection. I'm trying to come here to honor God among God's people and admire God for what He has done in sending the Lord Jesus and sending the Holy Spirit to change all of us who otherwise would not be changed. Admire God. This is what it means. Delight in the Lord. Take pleasure in God. I'm talking about what to most people sounds like a total waste of time. You mean you're going to just go, what are you going to do? You're going to delight in the Lord. That's what you're going to do. You're going to delight in the Lord in the morning. You're going to delight in the Lord in the afternoon. You're going to delight in the Lord in the evening. You're going to delight in the Lord. You're going to take pleasure in the Lord. And then go on forever, but we got to go on. In Psalm 40, verse number 8, we see this other very important phrase. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So the Lord Jesus said, John 8:29, He is our example, by the way, of spiritual pleasure. He said, I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. So when I'm looking at my life and there's a lack of satisfaction and joy and delight in spiritual pleasures, where am I in my relationship to the Lord? What am I delighting in? Am I delighting? That's what I started out by asking you when we began. We started out, and my question to us all tonight was, what brings you the greatest pleasure? Where is God and your relationship with the Lord in that list? Are you mad at God? Are you frustrated with Him? Are you aggravated with Him? Remember, He delights in righteous people who accept His ways. And by the way, His ways aren't good. I was telling Pat the other day, I love this. I heard this, I read this quote somewhere. Some old-time preacher, he was out in the field somewhere. Probably a made-up story, but it still works. Maybe it wasn't a made-up story. Anyway, this fellow was out in the field. He met a shepherd out with his sheep, and it was all kind of a foggy, misty day. This is an old English preacher I was reading. He went up and said something to the shepherd, and the shepherd said, I wonder what kind of a day it's going, what kind of weather we're going to have today. And the shepherd said, whatever pleases me. That's the kind of weather we're going to have today. Fellow thought, well, this guy's been out with his sheep way too long. Hadn't been around any human beings for a while. But then he went on to explain. He said, if the Lord is pleased for it to rain, I will be pleased. You follow me now? If the Lord is pleased for the sun to shine, I will be pleased. Are you listening to me? That's how you take pleasure in God. Well, I don't like what He's doing. I totally appreciate that. I really do. But to take pleasure in God is to trust His ways, delight in His Word, celebrate His presence, delight in who He is, being with Him, and do His will. Three other things, and I'll just comment on these in passing. There's delight when the wicked are rebuked. This is in chapter 24 of Proverbs, verse number 25. It's on that last slide, Pat. 24:25. Notice what this says. But to those who rebuke the wicked, there will be delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. So in those in leadership, remember, there are times when a rebuke is appropriate. And when the rebuke is given, There's delight from the people. Parents are delighted in a disciplined child, we read in the book of Proverbs. And of course, for we could spend a whole night on the discipline of children. Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. A disciplined child brings delight to parents. And then finally, we read, there's nobody that knows how to work like women. Women know how to work. Men don't. Men are just about useless when it comes to this thing of work. Women know about work. And that's why Solomon gives us these amazing words about a godly woman. And the description of a godly woman that begins in chapter 31, verse 10, goes to the end. I want to pick up and read the amazing words in verse 13. She looks for wool and flax. Now this is a tremendous phrase, and it's not just for women. And works with her hands in delight. Meaningful work brings delight. And I'm reminded, and I gave you the wrong reference, it's Ecclesiastes 2:24, and I want to read it to you as we conclude. Ecclesiastes 2:24 is such a good verse for us to be reminded about work. A lot of us are tired today. A lot of us have had a long day. Solomon talks about the futility of work. Chapter 2, Ecclesiastes 2:18. Thus, I hated all the fruit of my labor, for which I labored under the sun. For I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to the one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and in all his striving with which he labors under the sun? Or as we saw when we studied this together, he literally says, what does a man give for his labor and chasing the wind? That's literally what he said. You can't, you know, chasing the wind, good luck with that. Because all his days, his task is painful and grievous. We're tired when we come home from work. We're tired. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. And then verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. So God gives us our work. When God made Adam and Eve in the garden, He put them to work. It is from the hand of God that we work. But all of us men in here can learn from the women what it means to have pleasure in work. So tonight we've learned three things. God is a God who takes pleasure in His people. The world is filled with people who love pleasure. They love pleasure itself. All they want is pleasure. All they want is pleasure. And then we learn about the most wonderful thing of all. When you come to know the Lord, when you're born again, when you know Him, you can experience spiritual pleasure. The righteous delight in God's ways. The righteous delight in God's Word. And the righteous delight in the Lord and doing His will. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. A lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we hide Your Word in our heart that we might not sin against You. And every one of us, Lord, we're going to leave this room, all the many of us who are here tonight. And we've all had different kinds of days. And we've all heard these words in different ways. And that's what's so wonderful, because the Holy Spirit takes what we've said from the Word and fits it into our life the way we need it. So tonight, Lord, help us to learn the pleasure of being with you. May that pleasure overwhelm and replace all the other fleeting, empty, vain, dead pleasures that don't last. And may we find our greatest joy, as Jesus did, in doing the will of God. And may our greatest joy be in you, our pleasure in you, and in doing your will in our personal lives, in our church, in our families. And may we live to serve Jesus and tell others about Jesus. And may you be pleased with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. Say hello to somebody. We'll see you Sunday.